Chapter 69. The sky hammer came down in a crackle of lightning and fire and earth-shaking thunder. A moment before it struck him, Gavin jerked awake. He gasped and fell from his cross-legged sitting position onto his back. He sucked in great breaths, lying there in the darkness, his legs slowly untangling. "Eat the poisoned bread," the dead man said. "It's your last hope. Go out like a man before you fade into your insanity."
"What woke me?" Gavin asked.
"Holding out hope." "You," the dead man laughed. "Die, Dazengyle, and may those you've harmed curse you into eternity."
"Some comfort you are."
He groped around in the darkness until he found the bread. There had always been some part of him certain that he would escape. Things had worked out for him, always. He was a falling cat destined to land on his feet, but this time he'd been dropped from too great a height. Landing on your feet didn't mean anything when the fall pulverized your legs. The pressure on his chest was suffocating.
"Do you remember your 7 great purposes?" the dead man asked him.
"Uh-huh."
"No, really, do you remember them all?"
"To tell Karis the truth about me. About Gavin and Dazen and Sundered Rock, that was the first one. To finally free Garriston, that was the second. After all, I'd let happen to it.
He'd failed to save the city, but he'd succeeded in saving the people. It counted, maybe.
Go on.
7 were for war. I knew there'd be war again, so the 3rd was to get an army loyal to me.
Of course, the people of Garriston with your old General Corvin Danavis at their head. And you held them off the table like a card to be played when no one expects it.
Gavin nodded. Sears Island seemed so distant to the conventional thinking, but it wasn't distant anymore because of the next goal.
The 4th was to learn to fly. That worked for me for a little while, but I couldn't ever make a condor that could move supplies and troops across the seas. Nonetheless, in my failure, I created the skimmer, which does what I wanted anyway. I can move troops to places no one could imagine they'd show up. Perhaps as importantly, I can communicate more swiftly than any foe. The 5th goal was to undermine the spectrum and get myself named as Promarchos again. That almost worked.
What's number 6?
To kill all the color whites. All of them. In the entire world.
For Sevastian?
For everyone. Yes, for Sevastian, 8 years old and murdered by a blue.
A grandiose plan for a blind man?
No. Grandiose was the 7th goal.
The dead man was silent, but Gavin was too. Finally, the dead man said, "What was the 7th goal?"
"You're not me, are you?" Gavin said.
"Of course not. What, do you think you're talking to yourself? You're not that crazy. Not yet.
You aren't a young version of me I will cast into this cell to comfort myself. You're something else."
Silence for a time.
"You underestimate your old self."
"Enough of that. I know."
Silence again.
"What gave it away?" the dead man asked.
"When you said,
Raka."
"Raka?" I might have dredged from the depths of a fevered brain. "But,
Raka."
"And you lied about White Luxin. But Gavin didn't need to tip that card yet."
"Eh, I worried about that. I was angry. I made a mistake. I hoped you'd missed it."
"So what are you?" Gavin asked.
"Oh, Dazengyle, come now. Isn't that your 7th goal?
To join us?" Gavin shivered.
"Us?"
Every word was likely a lie. Every word had been a lie so far. But what did that mean? Or was this a hallucination? Was this conversation even real? Or was this madness in truth?
"Dear Orholm, I am finally losing it. Conspiracies and spirits, what's next?
What could you do when you couldn't trust even your own mind?" He tore a hunk off the bread. He wadded up the dough, rolling it in his hands and compressing it until it was a starchy bullet. He opened his mouth to toss in the bullet, all nonchalant.
"Wait," a quiet voice said to him. He closed his mouth.
"What was that?" the dead man said. "Who is that? You can't touch him. You can't speak to him. That's not how it works. That's not the rules. Unless..."
Gavin was about to say something aloud, but whatever it was, he forgot it immediately when he heard a sound. something from outside the cell. No. I'm in here for months and months and nothing happens, and then two vitally important things happen at the exact same time. The air changed, and light streamed into the black cell like a sledge smashing Gavin's good eye. Gavin blinked against it, putting out a three-fingered hand to block the assault, and the man turned down his lamp. Then he set it on the floor. Grinwoodie.